You'll be so glad to get Charlie back next Sunday that he'll probably get a raise. That's what I do. I help local preachers out every place I go. I've got a little presentation, PowerPoint presentation, that I'll do this morning during our worship assembly. And just want to share with you a very important biblical truth. And the biblical truth is that the gospel of Christ has the power to change the lives of people. Our world will be changed when people change. Don't you agree with that? I mean, if you want a better world, it begins right here. It begins with us. Personal change always precedes corporate change. You know what that means? That means if you want a better marriage, it starts with you. The only person you can really change in your marriage is you. And God can help you change. And to the extent to which you change for the better in your marriage is that much better. You know, sometimes we say, you know, if my wife would change, if my husband would change, we'd be so much better off. And a lot of times in the church, we have a situation that is much like that town in Texas that says, as you enter the population sign, it says the name of the town, and then it says the home of 486 nice, respectable, happy people and a few old grouches. In every congregation, there are some folks that just need to change. In reality, all of us need to change for the better. And it begins with us. If you want this church to be better, don't look around and say, you know, if that old grouch, if this person or that person would change, our church would be so much better. Look at yourself and say, how can I change for the better today to make this church better? And to the extent to which you change for the better, your church is going to be better, and your community will be better, and our world will be better. And God helps to change people. I want to just show you how people can change. Now, the Bible's full of the stories of great men and women of God who radically changed in their life in order to serve God. But it didn't stop in the first century. It continues to today. And so I want to show you the lives of some people today who have changed radically in their lives, and as a result, people around them and the world has been blessed as a result. The Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has gone, the new has come. You can still change. The old stuff that messes up your life can still be conquered by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God in your life. And you can still become better. You can still become new. Let me just give you the example of Francis Balul. This young man came to Sunset to study, and what we didn't know when he first came is that he grew up a Muslim. He was a part of the Muslim religion. He grew up in Paris, France. Now, his mother and dad were from Morocco. They immigrated to France before he was born. He was born in Paris, France. But he was born to Moroccan parents, and he grew up going to the mosque. He grew up as a Muslim. He grew up with all of the restrictions of a Muslim family living in Paris, France. But while he was in France as a young man, not yet 20, he moved to Strasbourg, France, and there he met a graduate of our school and an AIM team that had been sent to France to serve God. AIM, as you know, is college-age young people that come and study at Sunset for 8 months and then go on the mission field as apprentice missionaries for 16 to 18 months. It's a marvelous program for young people, and you know about it because you've sent some of your young people to AIM. Well, this AIM team was in Strasbourg, France, and they met Francis Balloul, and they began to, Frederick Balloul, rather, and they began to work with Frederick, and they began to teach him, and Frederick became a New Testament Christian. His life radically and completely changed from a Muslim serving Allah to a child of God serving the Lord Jesus Christ. His parents rejected him when he became a Christian, but he had a new family in Christ. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, as Paul describes the church at Thessalonica and the tremendous change in their lives, he says, "For they themselves report the kind of reception they gave us. They tell how you turned from God, turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God." Now, Frederick Balloul was not an idol worshiper in the sense that he bowed down to some graven image. Muslims don't believe in that. But Frederick Balloul served a God that is not the God of the Bible. Allah is reported by Muslims to be the one God of creation. But if you follow what they teach, you'll discover that they are not teaching about the God of love and mercy and grace and atonement. They don't believe in atonement for sin. They don't believe that Jesus died on a cross for the sins of the world. And they don't believe that people can be forgiven of their sins by the grace of a loving God. They don't serve the true and living God. But Frederick Balloul changed radically. And now, as he's graduated from Sunset, he's back in France. And he's preaching the gospel to Muslims and to other people in France who need to change like he changed. Living proof that Muslims can still be converted to Christ around the world. Josh Floyd came to Sunset, and we didn't know his sordid background for a long time. But over the years that he was at Sunset as a student, he began to tell us about his life. Josh was forgiven a debt that he could not pay, and he became a debtor for Christ. His life went like this. As a young man, he grew up in a very, very dysfunctional home. He began to associate with drugs and drug users and drug peddlers. He got hooked on drugs. And it became a habit that he had to feed. He got a job with a very respectable company. And he was in charge of shipping products for that company. But to feed his drug habit, he embezzled and stole $75,000 worth of the products that he was in charge of shipping. Well, it turns out that he was caught by the police, brought to justice. Because it was his first offense, the judge ordered him to be on probation for 3 years and ordered him to pay back every penny that he stole. He began to try to make payments on that, but his drug habit was still getting in the way. And he was getting into more trouble trying to pay back that money. It just happens that the owner of the company that he had stolen from was an elder in the Lord's church. And for some reason, that elder liked this young man, Josh. Josh violated his probation. And he was arrested and put in jail. The elder, for some reason, called up the prosecutor in that town and said, "I just want to check on Josh Floyd. How's he doing? Is he still living up to the agreement?" And the judge said, "No, he violated probation and he's back in jail." This elder went to his defense. The offended person went to the defense of the offender and said, "I'll tell you what, if you will let him out of jail, I'll forgive him of the debt that he has to our company. I'll forgive him of that debt and I'll be responsible for him." The prosecutor and the judge let Josh Floyd out of jail. And when they told him what this man of God did, he couldn't believe it. He said, "Why would anybody treat me that way? Why would anybody forgive me this impossible debt for me to pay? I'm the one that did the wrong." And he was so touched by that, that he went to this man of God, this shepherd in the Lord's church, and he said, "Would you tell me how I can be better? How I can be more like you?" And that elder began to teach him the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Josh Floyd became a New Testament Christian. And he began to lead his young family in the right way. And eventually, that congregation helped to support him and send him to Sunset to become a gospel preacher. Paul said, as he looked over his life of persecution of the church, "For that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him for eternal life." Now, a lot of people will look at Josh Floyd and they'll say, "You know, I'm just glad I'm not like him. An embezzler, a robber, an outlaw, a drug user. I'm glad I'm not like him. But do you know what the Bible says? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And that's what some of you were. Were. But now, you have been sanctified, justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. You see, when you look at Josh Floyd today, you don't see a drug dealer, a thief. You see a child of God redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, if Jesus can do that in Josh Floyd's life, He can change anybody that is willing to yield their life to Him. I want you to pray for Josh. He's now the preacher in Sturgis, South Dakota. But I just got an email yesterday that said that Josh was taking a youth group on a skiing trip, and he had a snowboard accident and broke his back. He is in the hospital now. He is going to have surgery on his back. And I just pray that God will heal him and use him mightily as the preacher in Sturgis, South Dakota. So be sure and remember Josh Floyd in your prayers. One more story of change. And this story comes all the way from the Andes Mountains of Peru. Years ago, a young Quechuan Indian, growing up in the mountains of Peru, came in contact with a missionary from the Lord's Church. That missionary taught this young man named Hipólito Treviños the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hipólito became a New Testament Christian. And several years later, with the encouragement of that missionary, he came to Sunset and studied at our school. He graduated in 1977, and he went back to Peru. Now, because Hipólito was so far away and because he spoke very little English, he went through our Spanish school of preaching back in the 70s. We didn't know much about him. We didn't know much about his work. But recently we've discovered that for over 30 years, he has been preaching the gospel in the mountains of Peru as a Quechuan Indian. And by the way, the Quechuan Indians of Peru are descendants of the ancient Incan Empire. When they were conquered back in the 1500s by the Spaniards, most of the Quechuan Indians lost hope. They live in abject poverty in the mountain villages of Peru. And many of them live lives of desperation. When Brother Treviños went back to Peru, because he was the only preacher in Peru who could speak the Quechuan language, he started trekking into the mountains of Peru, the Andes Mountains, out of Cusco, Peru, and he began to preach the gospel in the villages of the Quechuan Indians. And as a result of his preaching, he has personally baptized over 750 people, but watch this, he's trained over 100 others to be evangelists and workers for the gospel, and they have literally baptized thousands collectively. And he has helped to plant over 29 congregations among the Quechuan Indians in the mountain villages, the inaccessible mountain villages of Peru. He grew up in desperation and poverty. But the gospel of Jesus Christ changed his life. Paul said, I urge you by the mercies of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This man of God was transformed in his thinking. And as a result, God has used him powerfully to change the world. Here's the take home, folks. Here's the bottom line. If God can change a Muslim, a thief, a Quechuan Indian born and bred in poverty in the Andes Mountains, God can change your life for the better. If you will do what these people have done, yield your life to the gospel of Jesus Christ, allow God to work in your life through His Word and through His Spirit, God will use you mightily and will help to change you for the better. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, what a fabulous opportunity to come and say, I just want God to change me. I look at my life and I see things I don't like. I want to be better. I want to be God's person. I want God to use me. If you'll come now in faith, repentance, confessing Jesus as your Lord, being immersed for the forgiveness of your sins, God will use you powerfully. If you've already done that, and you just find your life slipping back into those old habits and old friendships and old patterns, maybe you need to renew that commitment to Jesus today. Whatever your need is, if you want to change, if you want to be better, come forward now and let it be known to this good church as we stand and as we sing.